In a failing economy, some executives find themselves waiting on tables at restaurants. They've got a friend in Moses. For Moses, the economy failed when he fled the court of Pharaoh after murdering an Egyptian. Once in line for the throne, now he's tending sheep, a job he would live on for 40 years in a barren desert. Today, how to handle being overqualified. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. True leadership is sometimes forged in solitude. That was Moses' lot, and it may be yours as well. Listen now as Erwin Lutzer tells us more about life in the penalty box.
Now just imagine it. All of his aptitude and all of his training lay in one direction. But his job, his responsibility, his new vocation was in an entirely different direction. Imagine getting up every single morning and detesting what you are doing, but needing to do it anyway. Talk about somebody who was overqualified for his position. Some of you are in vocations like that. You've been trained in one area, you are hardwired to do one kind of a job, one kind of a vocation, and now because of necessity, you are thrust into a different environment, and you don't exactly like what you are doing. It is not the way in which you are built, but you need to do it anyway, day after day after day, with no end in sight. This educated man called Moses, the most intelligent conversation that he has for 40 years is, "Bah!" That's about all he can manage. Over in Egypt when he came, women held up their children and said, "That's Big Mo, be like him." But nothing like that in the desert, in the loneliness, in obscurity. And Moses has to serve. I often wonder how I would serve in obscurity. A number of years ago, my wife and I drove to Canada and we went through Montana. There is a state in these great United States called Montana. Ain't much going on in Montana. I remember we came to a little town called Plentywood, Montana. I think it did have one stoplight. What would it be like to serve there? By the way, the people in Montana, I think they live long lives. They live on an entirely different schedule. They aren't as hurried as we are here in Chicago. I think some of those folks out there, bless them, I think it would take them an hour and a half just to watch 60 minutes. Ain't much going on in Montana. But Francis Schaeffer said these words, "There are no big places and little places. There are only faithful people and unfaithful people." Your place, my friend, whether it is in obscurity or not, is God's place for you. And the real issue there is faithfulness or lack of faithfulness. It has nothing to do with breadth of ministry. It has nothing to do with who you see yourself to be or you want others to see you to be. To serve God in the desert is a great honor. And Moses needed to learn that. Ruth Harms Cockin wrote, "You know, Lord, how I like to serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how I effervesce in Bible study groups and fellowship. But how would I react, I wonder, if I had to wash the calloused feet of an old, bent woman day after day where nobody saw and nobody knew the lesson of servanthood?" There's a second lesson Moses had to learn in the desert, and that is the lesson of trust. The lesson of trust. You know, I'm picking it up here in verse 23. "During those many days, the king of Egypt died." Many days. How many days? 40 years times 365. Thank God, by the way, for pocket calculators. Thank God for pocket calculators. Because I've always said that when it comes to arithmetic, as long as I'm right 90% of the time, who cares about the other 5%? According to the pocket calculator, 40 times 365 is 14,600 days, 40 long years. I'm speaking to many of you who can't even remember 40 years ago, as you weren't around 40 years ago. It's a long, long period of time for monotony and hopelessness. But at the end of the days, notice that God shows up. It says in verse 24, and God heard their groaning. God was not deaf. He heard the groaning of his children. And God is not deaf. He hears your prayers as well. And you'll notice it says, he remembered his covenant. God does not have a bad memory, and he does not remember yesterday better than 1941 or 1938. Everything is known to God with equal clarity. And you'll notice it says, and he saw the people of Israel. You should underline the word heard, remembered, and saw. God was watching. And Moses is going to have to learn to trust God at a time when it seems as if God is doing nothing. What is God doing in your life when he appears to be doing nothing? He is hearing, he is remembering, and he is seeing, because God is with us there in the desert. I believe that everyone has a desert experience. I've known desert experiences. Everybody does. Israel had their desert experience. Moses had his desert experience. Jesus had his experience in the wilderness. We all have our desert experiences. And what does God do in the desert? In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says this regarding the nation Israel. God says, I found you in the howling wasteland of the desert. And he says, I encircled you and took care of you, even as an eagle looks after her young and stirs up her nest. What does that mean? I'm told that when eagles build a nest, they take all kinds of sharp rocks and sharp twigs, and they lay them there and they entwine them, and that becomes the basis of their nest. And then what they do is they cover the rest of the nest, they cover it with really soft, comfy feathers. And so the little eaglets, when they're hatched, they don't want to leave the nest. It is so warm, it is so comfy. And so you know what the mother eagle does? She begins to pull out all the feathers. And as she pulls out the feathers, the little ones find themselves on sharp rocks and on sharp twigs. And things get so bad in the nest and so uncomfortable that at last they're actually willing to try their wings and to fly. And of course, as you know, that as they do that, the mother then comes and swoops under and catches them if they still do not know how to fly. God says, that's what I'm doing for you in the desert. You know what sometimes happens in our lives? We have a very, very comfortable kind of life. Everything is predictable. And then suddenly the feathers begin to be pulled out. And we lose our job. Or we discover that our investments have gone sour. And we regret that we just didn't put all of our money in the bank at 0% interest so that at least we'd have it at the end of the day. And we think to ourselves, considering all that has gone wrong, and now suddenly we can't make the payments, and life is difficult. And what God is saying is, I'm encircling you, I'm taking care of you, and I'm pulling out those feathers, and life is difficult, and I'm stirring up your nest. It's what God says eagles do, and God says, that's what I did to Israel. You know, it is so easy to thank God when the bush is burning, when the waters are parting, when the mountains are shaking, when the money is flowing, and when your boss is glowing. But It is difficult to praise God when everything seems to be going south. And for Moses, what he needed to recognize is day after day in monotony, in loneliness, and in hopelessness, that God is seeing and hearing and remembering and doing. If you forget everything that I've said so far, don't forget what I'm going to tell you now. Those of you who are taking notes, this is the time to listen up with even more care. And those of you who don't, now is the time to use the offering envelope you should have used 20 minutes ago. All right? Don't ever misinterpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. Don't ever think that because God is silent, God is indifferent. No, 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 no. There are times when he is silent, but he's never indifferent. He is always working, always planning, remembering, hearing, and seeing. The lesson of trust. There was another lesson Moses had to learn, and that is the lesson of obedience. The lesson of servanthood, the lesson of trust, the lesson of obedience. And here we are in chapter 4. Now, in chapter 3, the bush burns, you remember. And by the way, Moses is standing there on holy ground arguing with God and giving God 5 excuses as to why he didn't want to go. Now, we would think to ourselves that by now Moses would be so eager to go back and to lead the children of Israel. We would think that he'd say, God, where in the world have you been? And now God says, go, and Moses says, no, and he argues with God about going back. And he asks a philosophical question that the 20th century, and I'm sure the 21st century as well, has been preoccupied with it. He says in chapter 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. We all ask those questions, don't we? We ask, who am I? Who are you? And yet, isn't it wonderful that God meets us where we are, with our weaknesses, with our limitations, with our unanswered questions? He meets us. And then he uses us for his glory. What a wonderful Lord we serve. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive a CD of a message that I preached entitled, Jesus versus Muhammad. Perhaps you've heard me say that my wife and I had the privilege of visiting the 7 churches of Revelation. And as we stood there and realized that these churches no longer exist, I tried to say, what does this mean for America? Hope that you get a chance to listen to the message.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Life in the Penalty Box, a lesson from the life of Moses. Tomorrow, treasuring the lessons we learn during what may seem to be wasted months and years. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. For those who give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win, we have a special thank you, a CD of Jesus versus Muhammad, Erwin Lutzer's message about the rise of Islam worldwide. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.